and you're all in the promised land of Canaan. It's true that all Josephs have to at some point of time be in Egypt. Though they may not remain in Egypt, I'm also one Joseph. Okay, we want to look at this evening the last topic on the open heart, and we'll ask God to speak to us. Let's just pray. Father, we just want to come this evening into your hands, and Lord, truly we ask you that, Lord, you would prepare our hearts, Lord, to receive your word, Lord. Lord, there are so many Bible characters, Lord, for us, and so much, Lord, to learn from them, Lord. And Lord, their lives are depicted as they live their lives, Lord. Lord, some of the things that were excellent in them, some of their mistakes, everything, Lord, has been recorded and put down for us. So that, Lord, we may learn, we may grow, Lord, through their experience, Lord. And this evening, Lord, we want to commit ourselves, Lord, even as we look at Abraham's heart, Lord. We pray, Father God, that you would teach us valuable lessons, Lord. Holy Spirit, we know that without you, we can do nothing. Without you, Lord, we will not have any understanding or insight, Lord. And so, Lord, we invite you here in our midst, Lord. Speak to us. Be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. Okay. So far, like, we've looked at three topics. And the first one, so it's like a four-part series that we've been doing. Today is the last one. We've looked at guarding our hearts, how important it is to guard our hearts. Then the next week we looked at conditions of the heart, and we saw that there are four types of heart that we can have, and we need to have a good heart that will bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold in our lives. We also looked at last time Cain's heart, and we saw that Cain had an unrepentant heart and never responded to God. Okay, so that was Cain's heart. So today we're going to look at Abraham's heart. Now, before we look at Abraham's heart, I have put a heart monitor on your lecture notes. So can we just take a little bit of time to go through this monitor, and if you feel that the answer to that is yes, this is about yourself, and this is like, so you answer it with frankness and with openness. You should not answer it as something that you want to be. Okay, this is something that you are right now. Okay, so you would want to be, you know, something, someone different, but that is fine. So can we just look at that? And we will go one by one. I hope my list matches with your list that is there. Okay, I think question number one is, generally you tend to worry or be restless about your future, your career, family, finances. So you have to say yes or no. Okay. I would say you should not peep into the other person's lecture notes, so that that will give them the freedom to answer it as they are. So do that. Then, when you try for a job, your only motivation is how much I am getting. Pay packet. That's what determines. Okay. Now, pay packet may be one of those things, but sometimes that's the only thing. That's the only motivation. If that's yes or no, you can tick yourself. Then, most often, you obey God if it is comfortable and convenient. If there is a little bit of trouble and inconvenience, you have to travel long, there is discomfort, then you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't obey. So yes or no. Next one, normally you would spend 10 minutes with the Bible and 30 minutes with newspaper. Okay, so what is our case? So sometimes it can be 30 minutes with different papers, like each paper 30 minutes. No, we subscribe to different papers, so we can have 30 minutes with each paper. Okay, then You make major decisions after logical reasoning and consulting with family and friends rather than prayer. Now, it's good to, you know, go through those logical conclusions. It's good to consult with family and friends, but that would be the only thing you would do when you would take major decisions. Not rely on prayer, not rely on what God wants you to do, or maybe some words coming to you from prayerful people. So if that's it, that's what you normally take decisions, then you can say yes or no. Then, your giving to God is only or sometimes in the form of tithing. So that's the only form of giving. You know, tithing is the only form, and sometimes it's not very regular also. Yes or no? Then, you find it difficult to find time to help others other than family. Find it difficult. There's no time. So, you're not able to help other people. Yes or no? Hospitality, you think, is not your cup of tea. So this bare minimum. So, hospitality is not your cup of tea. Yes or no? Then, success for you is more important than having godly values. To be successful is more important than having God. Yes or no? Then, last one. Generally, you tend to compromise than stand for the truth and risk your job. So you can tend to take the easy way out rather than being singled out and facing the consequences for standing for the right thing. So generally, yes or no? Okay. Now, you can count your number of yes. Number of yes. If, now here the grading is opposite. Outside the grading is, if you get more, then you get qualified. Here, if you get less, then you get qualified. Okay. So if your number of yes is 2, then congratulations, you've got distinction. So if it's 2, you've got distinction. If it's 3, then you've got first class. If it's 4, then you got second class. If it's 5, then you got pass class. If it's more than 5, you have failed, and then there is no etiquette in this. Okay? So that means you really listen to Abraham's heart. Okay, so now this is just an indicator. I've just put a monitor for all of us, just for us to evaluate ourselves. But God's values are really different. We want to look at Abraham's life. Now, Abraham's story, as Jan was sharing, Isaac's sacrifice, we've heard it many times, and we want to pray that maybe we'll be able to draw some new things this evening. Okay, now, the first thing that I was able to see in Abraham's life was that his heart was set to obey God. That's the first thing that we see in Abraham's life. His heart was set to obey God. Yeah. He was always willing to be obedient to God. And I don't know whether the verses are here. Okay. Now we'll see over here. It says in Genesis 13, 8 to 9, the Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And so the next verse says, "So Abraham left." Can we underline that? "So Abraham left." That's it. That's it. So he was obedient immediately to what God had said. As the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Okay, so he had post-retirement, still. So he retired long back, but still he was willing to be obedient, and his heart was set to obey God. Okay, now that's one example that we see over there. Then we also see that in Genesis 12, 1 to 5, it says, Abraham noticed that his herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen, they were fighting. And he did not like that. Because that's not a good thing. Because people around them would think that the uncle and nephew, their people are fighting with one another. And so that's a bad example. And so he tells Lot. He tells Lot, let's not have any quarreling between you and me or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I will go to the right. If you go to the right, I will go to the left. Again, he was willing. He took initiative. You know, he took it. He saw that this was not a good example, you know, for us to be in that land, in that foreign land. And so he immediately took initiative and he again decides to move, knowing the heart of God that this is not right for us to do and to be here together. So that's what. Then, again, coming to Isaac's whole story, Genesis 22, 1 to 4, it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am. He replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey. Can we underline that? He got up, saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him. He set out for the place God had told him. Now, if we see Abraham's heart was always willing to be obedient to God. Always willing. And he wanted to please God. He wanted to obey God. As I was just thinking about this, I felt like the picture of an athlete. So if you see the athletes if you see them on the starting blocks, so they will be, I don't know whether all of you all will be able to see, but they will be down here on their knees and with their hands on the ground, and they will be waiting for the person like who is holding the pistol, and I don't know whatever they say, on your mark, get set, go. But when they say on your mark, so they get up and they're ready to shoot off the blocks. They're ready to shoot off the and they're waiting for the pistol to fire. Go. And I feel that's how Abraham's heart was. It is not like a cold heart. It is not like, he was not hearing God. It is not like he was thinking about excuses to give to God. He had a positive frame of mind. He was desiring, ready always to listen to God and to be obedient to God. So he had set his heart. That's the meaning of setting your heart. Being positive, willing to listen, and then to move where God wants us to move. And so, if God told him to go, he would go. And he would please God. He would obey God. I think that's the same thing with respect to us also. If we want to please God and we want to see God's purpose in our lives, then when God says move, we need to move. When God says go, we need to go. Now, this is another issue that if you just stay on when God is saying go, 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 so after some time he will give you a push and say po, then you go on. So you'll be out. So you have to decide whether you want to go or you want God to po. So what do we want? So that will not be comfortable for us. We have to decide ourselves that, we set our hearts to obey God. Sometimes, when we are in the church and you are working in a team and you're working with a team leader, and that if you present yourself to the team leader, then some work will be given to you. So you will try and go by the side, right, so that you can escape everything, you know. So, and sometimes like the team leader is calling you, John, and John is not listening. John is somewhere. And then finally, the team leader says, Joseph, and Joseph comes. No, Joseph comes and gets his done, get the things done. And after some time, John comes and he's having a chat with the team leader. And the team leader says, you know, I called you twice, thrice. You know, oh, you called me? I thought you were calling Joe. And you know, I didn't hear John. Like, so we are not tuned like to, because we want to get away. We want to get away. We don't want to do things or be involved in something where God wants us to be involved and to grow. But that's not what God would desire. No, there should be a willingness, an obedient spirit, a willing spirit that when God says yes, when God says go or move, like we are ready to move. Actually, like, I was reading about a year back a story about Gordon Hall. And he was an American missionary and he came to Bombay. He established many schools among the underprivileged. He came here in the year 1813 and he came through East India Company and he landed in Bombay in 1813 and he died in the year 1826. Those times, like, I mean, people did not survive very long because of the sicknesses, and they were not able to adjust to the climate, you know, of a foreign country. But he accomplished a lot, you know, established schools, printed a lot of literature, you know, printed Bibles in the New Testament, especially among in the Marathi language, you know. And then he passed away in 1826. You know, so now this author who is writing about him, you know, they say some have commented harshly on the seemingly callousness of those old-time missionaries towards the needs of their wives and children. Those were the days when men and women were rugged and God-fearing. When the Bible says that time is short, it remains that they have wives, be as though they had none. No, they followed it to the word. They followed it to the word. And these missionaries, now, you know, things have changed. Like, we need to have, we have a commitment with our family and our children. But, you know, those missionaries who came, you know, they, within them, they had a willing spirit. They were, if God spoke to them, they would move. And once they left their country, they refused to go back to their country. They will give their lives as missionaries in a foreign land. So, you know, when we have an obedient spirit, when we set our hearts to obey God, then God can use us to change people, to change countries, you know, to change regions, to change cultures. That's the power of, you know, obeying God and setting our hearts to obey God. You know? So we need to have a balance also, but we need to look at this aspect. Am I ready to obey God? And if we are ready, then like we will be able to see God, we will be able to see God working in our lives in amazing ways. Okay, that's the first thing that we see. Abraham set his heart on obeying God. Okay, secondly, he was a friend of God. He was a friend of God. And we will see that through different passages. He had a close relationship with God. Genesis 15, 2 to 11, it says, "But Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, You have given me no children, so servant is in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said, So shall your offering be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abraham brought all these to him, cut them into two, and arranged them arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut into half. Then the birds of the prey came down and on the carcasses, but Abraham drove them away. And we know the story that God made a covenant with Abraham. God made a covenant with Abraham. As those animals were cut into two, God passed between them. And so, that was a sign of a covenant. So actually, whenever people in the Old Testament made a covenant, they would cut these animals into two and they will walk between that. And what they would say is that if any one of us break the covenant, then our state would be like these animals that are cut into two. Okay, that's the seriousness of the covenant. But here, God did not allow Abraham to walk through those pieces. God walked through the pieces. But what I want to highlight to us is that God conversed with Abraham. He had such a good conversation with Abraham. And I think that because his heart was set to obey God, and so that pleased God, and so God drew near to Abraham. God revealed his heart to Abraham. God shared things with Abraham, and God promised him, God blessed him, God anointed him. There was such a good communion between God and Abraham. And when we set our heart to obey God, then we can also develop a close communion with God, a close conversation with God. We can also grow close to God as his friend. Abraham was called a friend of God. He had conversations with God. And the opposite is true. If we are most of the time saying no and no and no and no, and that's true in a relationship also. Like when you are always responding in the negative, then at some time the other person is discouraged. And so there is a distance in the relationship. The same is true. When we are obedient, we come closer and closer and we know one another's heart. And here, God revealed his heart to Abraham. Abraham was able to share his heart to God. So Abraham became a close friend of God. If we look at the Bible, there are very few people with whom God could converse like a friend. You see that God conversed with Job. Conversed with. God conversed with David. Now, God did speak to the prophets and the priests, but they were used by God to speak to the people of God. But otherwise, people who were chosen and who had a good relationship with God, they were few. Okay? But Abraham grew in his relationship with God. Again, the next verse says in Genesis 17, 1-8, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and greatly increase your numbers. Abraham fell face down and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abraham. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Next passage is very interesting. It says, the Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, Genesis 8, 1-5, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing by. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, if I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat, so you can be refreshed, and then you go on your way. Now that you have come to your servant. Very well, they answered, do as you say. When Abraham saw those three people, he recognized them as an angel of God or the Lord himself. He knew this, and he hurried to meet them. If it was anybody else, they would have thought, like, who are these people, passing by?
And if they may be just wandering, and let them go. Abraham noticed them and hurried to them. They knew that they were sent by God. They knew, he knew that they were godly people. And so he rushed to them. How? Because he knew God. Because he was God's friend. He would not miss that situation. And he served them. And they were willing to wait, you know, for that time. And Abraham was willing to be hospitable with those people, the angel and the Lord himself. You know, I think unless, like, we spend time with God, you know, through our prayer and through our reading of scriptures, we will miss God many times. We will miss God many times. We will not have a close relationship with God. And sometimes God would be speaking to us, but we would not be able to, you know, listen to God's voice. Sometimes God may be leading us, but we may not be able to see His guidance and His leading, because we have not drawn closer to God. We have not, you know, walked a walk of obedience. We have not spent time with Him, conversing with Him. That was not the case with Abraham. If you see Mary and Martha, their situation is something similar, because Mary was concerned to be, that she wanted to be with Jesus, converse, know His heart, whereas Martha was busy with other things. Same may be true with us also. We live busy lives, you know? And so sometimes we may miss the most important thing of being with God, drawing closer to His heart, conversing with God, and becoming God's friend. I sometimes feel jealous with my wife as she does her quiet time. You know, so I have a diary where I write down things, and she has a diary where she writes down her things. Her diary, when she starts for a year, finishes off in 4 months. You know? And my diary is still going on strong for about a year. There are still some more blanks there that I missed out on a few days. But she enjoys writing and sharing and conversing with God. I'm strictly forbidden to, you know, go through her diary. But sometimes, like, I secretly take a peek, you know, and go through what she has written. I did that a lot more before marriage, but after marriage, she's very strict. But I just see some of her things, and I can see drawings there, and I can see poems there, and, like, you know, her, what she's pouring out to God. Not that she's frustrated with her husband and she's writing, not about that, but it's her relationship with God that, you know, she's able to do that. Like, so I think, you know, so I'm able to learn so many things. And sometimes, like, you know, even in a quiet time, she's able to draw a painting and, you know, stick it somewhere. So as an expression of our love to God and our heart to God. And I think, like, you know, we need to be also, as people, you know, draw closer to God. Have a heart-to-heart communion with God. Know His heart. And that can only happen when our heart is rightly postured with God, postured to obey God. So that was what we see in the life of Abraham. Abraham was a friend of God. God communicated His heart to Abraham. That's the second thing. Then, thirdly, for Abraham, God was his inheritance. For Abraham, God was his inheritance. It says in Genesis 13, 10 to 18, Lot looked up and saw that the whole plain of Jordan was well watered. This is when Abraham and Lot decided to part ways. And so that was like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt towards Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. The two men parted company. Abraham lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. The Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had parted from him, lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south, east and west. All the land you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. So Abraham moved his tents and went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. We are familiar with this story. So Lot looked up to the land. Lot chose the land, but Abraham chose God. He did not choose a land. Abraham chose to obey God, chose to go where God wanted him to go. Okay. And so God blessed him, and God said, I will give you this land as a place like where you will dwell, you and your descendants would dwell. And Abraham knew that God had called him, and God would be his inheritance. God would be his provider. God would be the one who would lead him to the promised land. Sometimes see that when we work in companies, suddenly the company gets a new boss, a new chief. And so when the new chief comes, a lot of heads roll. So because he wants to bring his team. And sometimes you may get a call from that boss and say that I've joined in here and I'm the CEO. Would you like to join this company? Because I would like to set up a team in this new company. And sometimes we may think that, I've been here for quite some time. I'm settled and I'm feeling secure in this place. But because your boss has called and your ex-boss has said that he will, if you are here with me in my team, I will take care of everything. You don't have to worry about anything. And so we take a plunge. So because he is there, I think Abraham knew that God had called him. God said go, God said move, and he knew that he was following God. And because he was following God and with God, he knew God had the capacity to sustain him and to lead him till the end of his life. So for Abraham, God was his inheritance. Sometimes, I say this again, but sometimes we think the grass is greener on the other side. But the grass is not greener on the other side. The grass is green on the side you water. Okay. Wherever you water, the grass will be green over there. We need God in that place. And when God is there in that place will be green. Hallelujah. That's what we are. So we go by God's command, not by what we are able to see. Lot looked at the land. He depended on his physical eyesight. And finally, he had to run away from that place because God destroyed that place. Abraham chose God and was led by God. And God finally led his descendants to the promised land. So we need to choose God. He was not, sometime back I read a book and it said, Abraham, he had everything, but he possessed nothing. God blessed him. He had everything, but he did not hold anything close to his heart because God was his inheritance. And so he knew that. Another portion that we see is Genesis 14, 21 to 15, chapter 15 and verse 1. The king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the people and keep the goods for yourself. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and I have taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or a thong of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abraham rich. I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me to Aner, Eshcol and Mamre. Let them have their share. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. So we see again here, Abraham knew God is his provider. He did not look to anyone. He did not look at any place. That place would be good for him to provide. Those people will provide for my needs. No, he looked to God to be his provider. Sometimes there is a temptation in us and we look to our companies to be our provider, our bosses who write our appraisals to be our provider, and see how we will do, you know, in the next year. Sometimes we look to people to be who can be our providers. We need to look to God who would be our provider. Sometimes, you know, we can look to our parents, and we look to an inheritance for an inheritance from our parents, and we think, okay, this is going to come, and the few days are gone, maybe after they pass away, and there is a fight between the brothers and sisters for inheritance. We look to our parents for our inheritance. We need to look to God for our inheritance, because that's what Abraham did. If we see in the teachings of Jesus also, Jesus said the battle will always be between God and mammon. God and mammon. You'll either serve God or you'll serve money. So the battle will always be that. We need to settle this. We need to settle this. That even wherever we work, you know, our company gives us a paycheck, but that may not be enough. It's God who takes care of all our needs. Of all our needs. He is our provider. And sometimes, you know, even if the pay is a little bit less, we are overlooked, the appraisal is bad, you know, we may not look at what God is doing in our lives. And so we may jump from one place to the other. And when we jump to the next place, we go through the same story. Why? Because we are missing what God is trying to speak to us. No, the way God is wanting us to lean on Him rather than any company or any established firm. God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to depend on Him. And you would agree that irrespective of how much increment we get, how much salary we get, it will not be enough. It will not be enough. It will not be enough. You will see that still we fall short. It's better to depend on God. You know, He will take care of all our needs. You know, the missionary Hudson Taylor, who went to China, and he was involved in the hospital work there, and he was involved in, you know, housing missionaries for training, and often they would not have food to give to these missionaries in China. He gave his life in China, but always he would depend on God to be his provider. There would be many times when they would not have food, and there would be some bullocks that will come and bring rice bags, and they would say that actually we had this wedding, but there were less people, and there is this extra rice that is there. We thought we are passing by. We will just give it off to y'all. And so he saw God's provision in his life. In his journal, he writes, "Our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that His children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. We do not expect He will send 3 million missionaries to China. But if He did, He would have ample means to sustain them all. Depend on it." And he says, "God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply." God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. We need to settle this. I think that even churches, organizations, we need to depend on God for, you know, to run the organization, to take the organization forward. And we will have enough. Sometimes we look to the West and we look to so many other organized countries and organizations. When we look to God, who is our provider, we will see that God will meet all our needs. Amen? Let's just look at the fourth aspect. He took risks for others. That's the fourth one. He took risks for others. Genesis 14, 13 to 16, it says, "One who had escaped when he went to rescue his nephew Lot." One who had escaped came and reported this to Abraham and the Hebrew. Now Abraham was living near the great trees of Mamre, the Amorite, a brother of Eshcol and Aner, all of whom were allied with Abraham. When Abraham heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out the 318 men born in his household and went in pursuit as far as Dan. During the night, Abraham divided his men to attack them, and he routed them, pursuing them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. He recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions together with the women and the other people. So, you know, Abraham, like Lot, decided to go to the better place. You know, he made a choice. Abraham did not take the initiative. Though he was the uncle, he could have told his nephew, I want you to go here. No? I am going to this place. No, you don't come in my direction. Okay? You take go to any other place, but this is my direction. He gave the option to Lot. And Lot decided to go to his own way. But even at this time, when Lot is captured by the kings, Abraham, you know, moves in compassion to rescue his nephew Lot. There is no revenge. You know, he saw the herdsmen of Lot and his own herdsmen fighting together. You know, so he could have harbored bitterness. He could have taken revenge. He said, or he could have just not done anything good. Okay, not done anything good. So just refusing to help his nephew, he could have just refused. Yet, like, he was willing to step out. Yet he was willing to risk his life. Risk the life of his men to rescue his nephew Lot. That's what Abraham's heart was for. He took risks for others. Did not see, I'm comfortable, I'm okay. Why should I put my head in someone else's situation? Why should I be involved in somebody else's problem? No, someone else's problem became his problem. And he took that as his problem. Took a step of faith and rescued his brother, nephew. We saw last time, Cain asked God and answered back to God and said, am I my brother's keeper? Abraham could have told God, am I my nephew's keeper? No. He went out and rescued his nephew. And if we were to look at ourselves, and if God would ask us, are you your brother's keeper? Or if we were to respond to God and say, am I my brother's keeper? And that question is ringing in our minds. We are. We are. Yes, I am my brother's keeper. And who is my brother? Who is my neighbor? And they are people like who are in touch with me. People in the world around me. I am and we are supposed to be our brother's keeper, our neighbor's keeper. You know, I remember that 2 years back or about a year and a half back, Gyan and a lot of the other brothers and sisters were involved in helping a brother from Nepal, and his name is Prema, and they came here through an agent, and they wanted to go abroad to work, and they were cheated by the agent. And one day, as this young man was traveling on the local train, he was pushed by the crowd outside. He hit the train that was going the other side and then came back to the same train, underneath the same train that he was traveling, and both his legs were cut. Very sad state. And this, our friends Gyan and all the others, they got news that this has happened, and they rushed to St. George Hospital, and they were with him. Along with them, there were other Christians also wanting to help this young man. He called his wife from Nepal, and his wife stayed there in St. George, and I think like they stayed for close to about a year. Okay, and some of our brothers were helping him, you know, almost like, you know, every week going, meeting with them, praying for them, you know, offering them hope, you know, and really interceding for them. And over a period of time, we saw that God healed his legs. No? Not only God healed his physical body, but he responded to God and he received Jesus as Lord and Savior of his life. He and his wife. And they saw a tremendous change in their spirits itself. No? And I think the year before last, April, like, he went back home with his artificial limbs. So he walked back home, you know, after being in the hospital almost for about a year, you know, and we took a video of him walking, you know, in the guest house, and it's so amazing to see how God gave him hope, not only, you know, saved him, rescued his soul, but rescued his life, and like he was kind of like with the artificial limbs back to normal life. Are we our brother's keepers? Yes, we have to be involved. Bombay is a busy life, but there are people around us who are hurting. I was just thinking in the afternoon today that there are so many people within the church that we know, and their own kith and kin, they're suffering from cancer, and sometimes like they're battling it alone, you know, within their families. We need to have time to visit them. We need to have time to pray for them. We need to have time to offer them comfort and strength. And I was thinking like that we need to have maybe a team of people who really have the grace upon them to be patient, to be understanding, to spend time with these people, because so many people are suffering from cancer and it's really on the rise. You know? We should be our brother's keepers. That's what like God has called us for. If we, I don't want to read the next passage, it's a long one, and here we see that Abraham is interceding. God's angels are going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham is willing to stick his neck out, and he is bargaining with God. You know, will you destroy the entire city of Sodom and Gomorrah? And because he knew his nephew Lot was there, if there were 50 righteous people, would you destroy the entire city? Because that city was a wicked place, and God's wrath was supposed to come on that place. And so God said, if I find 50 people, I will not burn that city. And then he said, what if, Lord, if there are only 40 people? And so he was again and again and again, he was willing to stand in the gap. Finally he said, if you find 10 people, will you destroy that city? And then God's angel said, if I find 10 people, I will not destroy that city. He was willing to be an intercessor. He was willing to, you know, to risk his own life for a good cause. He was willing to stick out his neck, put his neck on the line. He was a type of Christ. Type of Christ. An intercessor. Willing to save others. Not be comfortable where God had placed him. And that's the heart of Abraham. Lastly, his heart was for the generations. His heart was for the generations. It says in Genesis 24:1-9, Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to his chief servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac. The servant asked him, what if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I not take my son back there? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from? Make sure you do not take my son back there. Abraham said, the Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, to your offspring I will give this land, he will send his angel before you, so that you can get a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master Abraham and swore an oath to him concerning this matter. Now what is amazing is that, like, you see that Abraham's life is coming to an end, and it says, and the Lord blessed Abraham, and he was well advanced in years. Okay, now he could have thought, now why should I think about my children and my children's children and generations to come? Now I have seen the hand of God almost come to the end of my life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Rest in peace. No. So he had come to the end of it. We must have been a weary old man, well advanced in years, it says. But yet his spirit was always on fire for God. Not only he had seen God's blessing, he wanted the generations to see the blessing of God. Hallelujah. So even when he is well advanced, going to die, he says to his servant, take an oath in front of me that you will go to my people and find a wife for my son from my people, because that's the promise that God has given us. And so he was unwilling to let go of God's promises even before his death. He had the generations before him. He had the generations in mind. And he wanted God's favor and God's blessing to be seen in his generation. Not that everything would end with him over there. Complete, finished. No, he wanted it to go on and on and on. He wanted it to pass on and on and on. And that's why in the Bible we say, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. The God of it. He passed it on. He passed on his passion. He passed on his heart. He passed on his love for God to his next generation. And the generation that came after him picked up godly values. God's favor rested upon him. So when we think about Abraham's life, and we look at our lives, so we cannot just think about our lives. We need to pass what God has given to us to the next generation. And the best thing that we can ever pass, to the next generation is a heart that loves God. And our children, our people who see us, they would be able to see our heart of love for God. That's the best gift that we can ever give to our generation, to the next generation, as an inheritance. My friend long time back said, and we were having a discussion on music, and he was telling me about Lata Mangeshkar, and he was saying that the entire family, they were so poor that when Lata Mangeshkar and Asha Bhosle and Hridaynath Mangeshkar, when they were small, their father died. And the only thing, they had nothing. The only thing that the father had as a possession for them was a dholak. Okay? And he had trained them in skill. And so, these children moved from a small, obscure place and came to the city of Mumbai with the dholak and what was there in their heart that was given, passed on to them through their father. And then here, they saw that, things changing even as they developed and grew in their gifting and skill that was passed on to them. I think Hridaynath Mangeshkar is a very well-known music director, and both of the others, we would know, they are very good playback singers. So these are the things that we see people pass on to their next generation. But as people of God, we need to pass on the love of God to the next generation. A heart that is obedient to God. A heart that responds to God. That people would see it in our lives. And then we would be able to pass it on to others. Can I just call the choir to come up in front, and we will close in prayer. The choir is here. So even as we close this evening. Let's just look at these five aspects. Five things that we see in the heart of Abraham. And this evening we want to just respond to God. We'll sing the song, Hosanna. Want to start from the verse? Father, this evening, Lord, we come to you, Lord. Lord, we want to say, Lord, that, Lord, we want to, Lord, grow into people who would have an obedient heart, Lord. Lord, we want to grow into people who will have a close relationship with you, Father God. Lord, we would learn to commune with you, Lord. We would learn to spend time with you, Father God. Lord, we would be people who would love you, Lord Jesus. And we would be people with whom you will share your hearts with, Lord. You would be delighted with us, Lord Jesus, as you were delighted with Abraham. And his heart was delighted with you, Lord Jesus. No matter where he went, Lord. No matter which place you took him to, Lord. Though it was barren, Lord, yet he knew that his God is able to make a barren place fresh and green. Though he did not have people around him, Lord, yet he knew that his God was with him. You took care of every detail of his life. and Lord, towards the end of his life, Lord, the Bible says, and God blessed Abraham. And God blessed Abraham. Lord, we want to be a people. We want to be a generation who will walk with you, Lord Jesus. Who will walk with you by faith, Lord Jesus. And we want to be a people who will pass on this love for you to the next generation. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. We believe, Lord, that we would see a revival.